money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Well, that's good. But before we get talking about money, we should give a shout out to our sponsor for today's show, the good folks at Crosspoint Financial. Brent Vandermeer and his team have helped us. We regularly use him for, I'll say free advice, and I'm not saying you can do that, but we love Brent and his team as they guide us in everything investment and that world. So if you have some questions or you're looking to do some investment, Crosspoint Financial is a great place to stop. So feel free to reach out to them, and you can find them at crosspoint.ca, I think.
It'll be in the show notes. I didn't have it written down here for you.
crosspoint.ca, but anyways, feel free to reach out. You can certainly Google them. Thank you, Brent, for sponsoring for today's show. Reb, we have a guest again.
I do. Regular guest. Ray Borg.
Reb arranges all the guests, and so there's very few times that, when we show up at the studio here, I'm like surprised, but I love having Ray here. So there's
you
never,
didn't know
never
he was coming this morning?
Well, I did know. Okay. I read the show notes before,
Even though I think you don't.
Yeah, I know. The printer is in my office, and so it comes out the printer, and I check it out and go, okay, I better read that one. So,
okay, yes. Dear. Yes. Yeah. Good. Thanks for being here, Ray.
It's good to be with you guys again.
Oh, yes.
We have this ongoing conversation with Ray when you're here on the show, because you're here pretty well once a month now, and we've been talking a little bit about marker points. We've been talking about Ray is our, I would say, our current biblical financial scholar.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd put that heavy a title on him. Like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't think he wants us to say that. Okay.
Well, he's mine.
Okay, then. Yes, we do appreciate your insight, but you're from notmine.ca, which is I can't say we're partners, but kind of. We refer. Notmine.ca is a great place to go learn more and to get connected and understand what financial discipleship really means. Because if you've listened to us at all, and this is kind of where we're going, Dave talked about marker points, but he didn't explain it quite that.
I leave that to you.
Okay, thank you. The last 2 months, we started into a topic that I feel like we haven't really known exactly where we're heading, but it's been very interesting because I had this thought about the words privilege and blessing and what do they mean and do we use them in the right context when it comes to money? I could say way more and what is blessing and all of that. And just being careful with our understanding of what we're using as a reference point to say, oh, we're doing well financially, should we even be saying that? So last month we actually talked about we came into the giving thing, one of the marker points. How are you giving? What are you giving? Are you sharing what you have? That kind of thing. And so we're going to continue the discussion. And I was reading, I've actually been memorizing the verses with Serena because, here's my little plug in to the Bible Project podcast, because they're doing a whole series this year on the Sermon on the Mount. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's really fabulous. Mm-hmm. And Serena and I are listening to it, and it gives you historical context. It gives you language context and what Jesus was saying. And of course, we talk about Matthew 6 a lot on the show, and I can hardly wait till I get there with what they're going to be teaching. But we also have been in learning some verses from Luke 12, Serena and I, and the one is, don't be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And one version says that the Father has chosen gladly to give us the kingdom. And when I was thinking about, there's so much in that verse, right? I think, Ray, you've mentioned it even in the last couple of shows, you've mentioned this verse, like, we are his flock. We are the sheep of his pasture. I mean, Isaiah says that, and it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But then what does that mean? And what does that look like in our finances? So we want to continue the discussion about seeking first his kingdom in our finances. And what does that mean? And do we even want to really know what that means?
And we talked about looking at marker points and kind of saying, okay, there are some indicators along the financial journey that would say, oh yeah, this is, you know, this is kind of a marker point that happens in everybody's financial journey somewhere along the line, and you can identify them.
So one of the things that you two both had on your mind was the word obedience. Mm-hmm. And Ray, I don't know, I didn't even ask you, do you want to share the story you shared with us? Or because it's it is tied to giving as well, but just think of it as Ray speaks, you know, having God tell us what's important in our finances and then following through on that, and sometimes what it takes.
Can I set it up a little bit though? Because I think that it needs a little setup. I mean, in the sense that, you know, we talk about this a lot in the podcast, and we talk about that the Lord owns it all, that part of our stewardship journey is just recognizing that, you know, there are resources, there is money that he gives us. And sometimes we have extra, and, you know, part of that stewardship is asking him, what do I do with the extra? Sometimes we're like, hey, there isn't any extra. Lord, what do I do? How do we manage? Because we don't have what we think we need for sustainability. And I think your story really shows a little bit the dynamic of both of those sides and how obedience actually kind of brings those together. So now you're set up. Okay.
Yes. Thanks, Dave. I think, you know, hearing you just share that, I was reminded, you know, there are times where we have kind of structures and systems about how we manage our finances. Mm-hmm. But it's every once in a while, it's when in the middle of that, God comes and interrupts us. Yep. And, you know, so being real practical about that is, you know, Arlene and I will sit down, I think, every 3 months now and do a financial date where we actually intentionally look at our giving that we want to do from those 3 months.
Okay.
But then I realized there are times where God will pull on our heart. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the situation I was sharing with Dave and Reb earlier is the Lord was tugging on my heart. And so whenever it happens between Arlene and I, then we'll go and share it with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I was sharing with her, you know, I have this relationship with somebody originally from the UK, but ministering in Israel. And I had gotten a little update from him. And so usually it's communicated through another individual and you know, emailed out to a large group. However, things have kind of changed in how they're managing some things. And so it was more of a personal email and indicating, you know, we are looking for some additional finances as we transition and minister between one organization and another. And it kind of pulled on my heart. And so I went to Arlene and I said, well, what do you think about that? And so he was like, okay. So he came up with a figure in our head and was like, okay, let's do this. And then it sat. Mm-hmm. There was like, no, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. So then I reached out and said, you know, we'd like to give, but I don't know how we would do that. Because usually in the past, it would have been through another organization. And so so he sent his banking information. It was like, can I send money to Israel? It's not something I've ever done before. And so I finally made the effort to actually go to the bank. And no, I actually emailed him and I said, I don't know, how do people normally do that? And he said, here's the banking information. There's another number of apps you can use, one of them being Wise. And I had heard of that before. And so I looked at it, did a little bit of research, started filling in the information. I thought, I'm not so sure about that. You know, doing an online Google search, how good are they, reputable? And some say yes, some say no. So I went to the bank and so I said, is there any way we can do that? And she said, well, we can send you a wire. And I was like, okay. And then she said, and that's $50. And she inputted all the information. And then when she said $50, and then she looked at me and she said, you know what? You can do this online. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. And it's considerably less. And I want to save you the money. So I really appreciated this young gal's assistance. So I go home. Another day passes that I was like, okay, I got to be diligent and be obedient, Lord. And so then I went online and I had to find it in this system. And then I did in our banking systems. And I started setting it up and it wouldn't go. Three times tried. Did I do something wrong? Did I put in the right, you know, numbers?
Are, okay, so are you a numbers. Person who gets frustrated by technology and things like
this? Well, when those things kind of do, then it was like, so then I started a new profile. Maybe that would be some glitch in it, you know, say, this is for the birds. Anyway, I gave up. So then I thought, well, I'll go back to the bank. And so, okay, so maybe in the next day or two, I can do that. And it suddenly dawned on me, oh no, she said, I need to call the online folks because that's their area of expertise. Because it's banking online. So I have to find the number again. It's like, I haven't called this place in years. And so I finally did. And I get passed. And then I get passed to another person. Said, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that one there. So then this one, fortunately, knew what they were doing, started walking me through the process. And then had to do some research herself. And 10 minutes go by, dead air. Not even a loop of music or anything. And I'm thinking, did I get disconnected? No, it's not. Then finally, I get through and she says, I wondered if it was a sanctioned nation, but no, you're supposed to be able to do it. Maybe you don't have the correct information. Right. Try again. So I go back to my friend the next day, emails and I tried, but there's something missing. So he really looked at all of it and he included his middle name on the account.
Right.
And I think that was the thing that did. Wow. I re-entered it again and then it went, oh, it went through, and rather than a $50 wire fee, it was $6.99 to send the funds over. And 2 days later, he sent a little email. And so I felt good. I said to her, Lita, I had to go through. I had to persevere, but I was obedient because I knew that was really important. And I got a very nice thank you note from him. Just, you know, the timing of it is just so critical for them. And so anyway, so it, for me, it spoke to having to persevere sometimes in obedience, even though there's so many blockages or you just want to give up. And so it was like, no, Lord, I know I need to honor you at this one. And so
I remember someone once saying, you know, when, you know, with the Lord, all things are possible, but they're not all easy.
<You know? laughs> Well,
I've always thought of that in a situation where, I mean, you know, it's like you're going through and it's like, yeah, it's just hard, right? It's just back and forth. So
I thought of the teaching of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 when you were talking, because Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to hold to their word that they had committed to give. And then he compares them to another group of people who were poor and says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And that, you know, Paul is literally saying, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised. Right now, back then they put a collection and had it, you know, and they, over time, they probably did it. And you had to go to a bank and send an e-transfer across the air, however that works, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's different, but I did think of that when, and your perseverance to hold to what the word you gave the Lord, right? So, but obedience, you know, is a fruit of having kingdom ways in our finances. There's so much about obedience and the fruit of obedience, and that it takes perseverance, and it actually sometimes, you know, we need wise counsel sometimes because we don't know how. Like if the Lord says, well, get your act together on your finances. I don't know if you'd say it like that, but, you know, but you don't know anything about money. I mean, that's essentially why notmine.ca is there. That's why More Than Enough coaching exists, all of that. But I was thinking, where do we actually go? The very basics of how do we know how to obey? What are we obeying the Lord in our finances?
Well, and I wanted to highlight that in terms of your story. We're going to pick on your story a bit, right? You know, in the sense of saying, I mean, the beginning of the journey starts with you looking at your heart and actually going, hey, the Lord spoke to my heart, I think is kind of how you said it. Mm-hmm. And that is so encouraging to me in so many different ways. And we don't all, you know, in your story, we're talking about the Lord speaking to you about giving, but the Lord speaks to us about practical financial things in our heart so much. And one of the, I would say one of my current phrases that I'm living in right now is the idea that my heart informs my head, not the other way around. Sometimes we get our head and, but my heart, if I'm connected to the Lord and my relationship with the Lord, and I'm asking him about, what's the next thing in my finances? And then the Lord says, in my heart, this, then there's the part where it's got to get up to the head. And then you got to start saying, how do I do that? And in your case, it was, the Lord spoke to your heart, but you had to get to the bank and it sat there for a while. And it, you know, the Lord spoke to your heart again, maybe, you know.
But I mean, that took a lot. Like at some point, maybe any of us can identify, well, I'm just not going to bother. Maybe this is God's way of saying, you know, don't worry about it. Like, cause it's just too many obstacles. But if we don't persevere and go with that first word, and we know that your friends in need, and that God spoke to your heart about it, and then we give up, we aren't persevering, we're not obedient, and we have to hear Paul's word to this Corinthians that says, like, remember this other church, they did the thing, they provided and they worked hard and they didn't have a lot either, but hold to your promise. And then we go on this financial journey. It's what you just said, like, it's not all about giving. It's sometimes like, you got to pay down your debt, guys. Like, you know, if the Lord's speaking to you about debt repayment, well, how do you do that? Like, and how do you be obedient to that? And in your financial journey?
I just want to say, you know, I had that initial tug when I read his email. Mm-hmm. And I know that I could have, and I'll be honest, part of me was like, oh, I have no idea how to do that. I'm just going to leave that, you know, kind of thing. But I realized if I hadn't nurtured it or given it more credence or weight and say, okay, I think God might be speaking to me about this. And I think that applies whether it's in giving or being obedient to pay down your debt and navigating those things. It's actually trusting, okay, God, I did hear from you and now I need to be obedient, because otherwise I'm not being accountable to you in the process. So if I truly trust you with my financial journey, then at some place I need to allow you, if I've invited you into it, to come speak to me and pull me up short when I need to do that, even when I'm navigating the financial piece.
And I think that's, you know, we're talking about the marker point of obedience. Like, you know, there's that level in there to say, okay, can I hear the Lord when he speaks to me? I mean, there's so many distractions. You literally, you know, in your case, yeah, okay, maybe, oh, wait a minute. I think I feel that little twinge, or I feel that still small voice where the Lord's saying, pay attention to this. I've got something to say to you about this, right?
But I'm going to ask you a question, Ray, because it goes back to, I think you use the word nurture. Mm-hmm. You're nurturing that word. And you have done a few studies, like back in the day with Compass Canada and all of that. How do we nurture the financial word to us? And I don't want to talk about, like, we're in our quiet place and you get a directive from God you have. What do we do with this word? Like, how do we nurture this word? Because we've got to have a desire to know what he says about our money. Like, I'm just thinking, I don't know if, like, when we started More Than Enough, you guys know this, I was like, please, not a financial coaching thing, because now I'm going to have to do it God's way. And I'm going to have to deal with my, like, does God really own it all? Like, doubts and, like, my pride, and I'm going to have to do what he says, not what I want with my money.
I'm sure, like, all those came like right in that moment.
Okay. I came face to face with it. Like, that actually, why didn't I not want to do this is because of that. And I'm thinking people are listening this morning, or people come to coaching or come to you, and like, and it's great when you earn a lot of money and you're like, yes, I can give my 10%. And I'm, but when he starts saying, no, I want you to, you're 25 or you're 50, like all of a sudden that's a different ball game. That's a different level of now we're moving from, I don't know what, but how do we nurture? That's my question to you. How do we nurture the word so it lives in us?
Well, you know, one of the things about notmine.ca is, you know, we often talk about the hard issues because, I mean, there's an abundance of budgeting books out there.
Yes.
And we can walk merrily by them and ignore them. But if we actually say, Lord, I want to actually grow in this area, I'm opening the door even to say, I want you to come and begin to journey with me in that, then I'm being intentional about allowing him to kind of come and even remind me of those times. And for me, that nurturing part is actually creating space in my thinking and in my emotions and in my heart to allow this word begin to settle in there. And then as I hear it, that I'm actually going to respond and be obedient to it.
Such a big word there, right? Just in the sense of saying, you know, I'm just thinking of your story and some of the distractions, like right away, it's like, oh, I got too much on my plate. Oh no, wait a minute. I have to, you know, and how many times I'm just thinking of myself where, you know, I read something in scripture and then almost immediately it gets stolen. And I'm thinking of the Jesus talking about the parable of the seed and the different places the seed falls and going, you know, the distractions of this world is one of the big ones for me. To actually hear the word of the Lord. There's 2,350 verses in there that talk about money and finances. If I've got a question about money and finances, I can go to the word, but will the seed, will the word fall?
Even a part of that is that's the worries of the world. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the one where mm-hmm. things get choked because it's the worries of the world are choking it? So now, you know, we may get a word and if, like, I'm just following this train of right. thought. If we're not nurturing it, if mm-hmm. we're not, I'm just quoting you, creating space in our thinking, our heart, and emotions so his word settles in, and we're actually meditating not on his word but on the worry mm-hmm. and on the what ifs, then it is going to choke out what is the good word is to us. And you can Google, what does the Bible say about money? It's not rocket science. Like if anyone's on a computer, or you
can just open up a page.
There's something about, I mean, you go to Matthew, you do go to the Sermon on the Mount. It's the way of life. He's instructing us in for kingdom living, not just to, as we get to heaven, because there was a quote that I wrote in our show notes. You know, the kingdom isn't where righteous souls go after death, but rather our current reality where we encounter God's presence and accomplish his will. Mm-hmm. This is the kingdom where we encounter God's presence and accomplish his will in our finances. That we can, like, we're here to tell you, you can encounter his presence in your financial journey, because whether we like it or not, he said it. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't.
And I love that it's not just, you know, so many times we kind of box that and say accomplishing God's kingdom is in the giving part, right? Like it's that's a big marker mm-hmm, point we're using right. that word. But it's just way more than that. It's in the, you know, we were talking on the way in that God, when he brought the people out of Israel, he supplied manna for them every day. Every morning, it was there for a couple hours, and then it got burned away in the sun. And so that was God's provision, and it lasted 40 years. His word one day says, I'm going to provide manna for you. This is how I'm going to do it. And then he didn't change it. And that's what I love about the word of God is going, he hasn't changed it. It's still...
I mean, Jesus said how many thousands of years ago, worry is going to choke the word. Worry is going to choke my word in you. So that's why I love that word nurture, like nurture his word and meditate on his word over the worry. Now, there are some things that, like, you can't just say, okay, I'm just not going to be worried. Well, take
I do that all the time and Reb gets mad at me.
Okay. So, unless you're special like Dave and just he can just shut that door to worry.
I think there's a whole bunch of people that think Dave needs counseling.
Yeah, okay, like yeah. But okay, that's another story. But then you get it out. Like sometimes I wake up with worry in my heart or I had troubling dreams or whatever. I have to go and like pour it out. Either in a walk or worship, I go focus and worship on him, or I put it in my journal. Like, those are very practical ways to not allow the worry to choke us. That we actually say, Jesus, and we cry out to him. We know what your word says. We don't want worry choking us. Please show me the way out. And I know that there's mental health as a subject and all of that, but these practical worries of things that are stressing us so much, I just love that opposite word of nurture. Like,
Well, because I think as we do, the Holy Spirit, right, the great comforter, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, mm-hmm. I think he comes and helps nurture and cause life to begin to flow mm-hmm. into the revelation of, okay, if I do this, maybe this will mean this. Mm-hmm. And if I choose to allow it to grow in my heart, it actually gets to take root. Because mm-hmm. I mean, one of the incredible experiences is that you begin to get, as you were talking about, you get a better sense of God's heart. Mm-hmm. When you open the word, then Jesus' heart is, it. I don't know, I think there's just room that begins to be opened up and mm-hmm. begins to displace the fear and worry and anxiety.
And sometimes if you can't sit and read it, then we have no excuses. Like there's some great people who have read the Bible on the internet and you can just read it and reread it and then meditate on the things that are jumping out to you. If you've never done that before, you can read a few scripture. You can go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You can, and just take 5 verses, but what jumps out at you? And just start saying, wow. I just hear this phrase in my mind. If you've never done that before, that's literally what meditating on his word is and talking to God about what this means for you.
And you know, we're coming to the end of the show, but and it's okay to be topical, right? If you're worried about something in particular, mm-hmm. the word of God can speak to that. The seed can be planted. And again, if it's good soil, if you know, we, and I'll leave with this metaphor, but we think mm-hmm. of Jesus' metaphor of that seed and we're going, you know, a gardener knows you got to kind of clear away. You got to give it room to, you know, got to put some nourishment in there. You got to, for the seed to grow, it does need space, right? Mm-hmm. And to your point, Reb, you know, when it gets crowded out, you know, there's not enough growth. And
I'm like, we're in it. We're mm-hmm. in it like everybody else. We're hearing hard stories. Mm-hmm. We're caring for family. We're in it with you guys. Mm-hmm. And we know what worry can do for our own hearts. So I think Ray can pray today.
Okay, Ray.
You're telling me to round up, but I think Ray can pray.
Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your heart for each one of us and that place that you invite us in. And we can invite you into our financial discipleship journey in that place, Lord, where we want your seed to take root. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, would you teach us about how to nurture those things that you're beginning to stir in our hearts and in our mind and our thinking, Father, to give space for them and attention and energy and reflection, Lord. Father, that those truths that you want to give us understanding about our finances, Lord, that they would begin to settle. And Lord, in the midst of that, Lord, you begin to change our mindsets and our behaviors. Lord, we say we're absolutely dependent upon you. Would you continue to come and speak to our hearts? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you, Ray, for being here again.
Yeah.
Thank you to Crosspoint Financial. Thank you to you, the listener. And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.